Hello, everyone. Welcome to Summit Church Fenton Online. I'm so glad you've joined me today, and I look forward to sharing the Word of God with you. I've been conducting a series over the past several weeks on the Ten Commandments, and today is part four of that. Now, if you missed parts one, two, or three, I'd like to encourage you to go back into our archives and listen to those messages, and I think it would be very helpful to you. And as I've said before, whenever a series is being taught, it's if you just hear come in the middle of the series, or just hear if it's, let's say it's a 6-part series and you just hear part one and part five, it can be a disadvantage to you, and you can get into a situation where but because you haven't heard the context of everything, you could misunderstand some things and it could cause confusion for you. So whenever you're listening to a series by any preacher, it's good to hear all the parts of it to get the fullness of what's being said. So if you missed parts 1, 2, and 3 of this series on the Ten Commandments, as I've said, I'd like you to go back into the archives and you can get caught up. So let's talk about today. We're on commandment number 4. Commandment number 4. And in Exodus, the 20th chapter, let me just read the Ten Commandments to you in order. And remember, your assignment for this series is to memorize the Ten Commandments in order, so that you could list them 1 through 10. If somebody gave you a piece of paper and asked you to write them down, like on a quiz or a test, get yourself to a point where you could write the Ten Commandments down in order from, 1 through 10. But the first commandment is, God said this, gave this to Moses for his people, "You shall have no other gods before me." And then number 2, "You shall not make for yourself an idol." And again, I'm just summing these up, because if you read in Exodus 20, there's more being said around that second one, but that's the main point of it. So number 1, you'll have no other gods before me. Number 2, you'll not make for yourself an idol. And if you really think about it, commandments 1 and 2 are pretty much the same. Have the same principle that God should be number one in our life, and there should be no one or nothing that we put ahead of Him. And then commandment 3, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." And of course, last week we covered that. And then number 4, which we'll cover today, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Number 5, "Honor your father and your mother." Number 6, "You shall not murder." Number 7, "You shall not commit adultery." Number 8, "You shall not steal." Number 9, "You shall not bear false witness." And then number 10, "You shall not covet." And we'll get to commandments 5 through 10 in the upcoming weeks. Today, of course, we'll look at commandment number 4 about the Sabbath day. But I would like to recap, just kind of sum up what I have said in the last several sessions, in case you don't go back and listen to those. Just a real brief recap or review here. We find that there's over 600 commandments in the law, which are either derived from or traced back to the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments sum up those 600 plus, okay? And then, as we move over into the New Testament, we saw that the Ten Commandments are summed up really in one word, love, which is the Greek word, the English word is love, but the Greek word is agape, which is the God kind of love. But if one is walking in love, loving God and loving their neighbor as their self, if we'll walk in love, we'll automatically keep the Ten Commandments. And so the 600 plus commandments were summed up in the Ten Commandments, and then the Ten Commandments are really summed up in one word, and that word is love. And we also saw that if we love God, we will keep His commandments, and that keeping His commandments is proof that we know Him, that we, of course, keeping His commandments is proof that we love Him, also that we know Him, and that we abide in him and that we are his friend. And that's important. That's important because there's a lot of people, as I've said in those first few sessions, that, you know, they'll say that they love God, but they're not keeping his commandments. And that just, that does not compute. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So if we love God, we'll keep his commandments. And that's proof that we love him and that we know him, that we abide in him, and that we are his friend. We also looked at New Testament verses on faith in Jesus and the Ten Commandments, and God's commandments, which are, of course, the Ten Commandments and so forth. But we looked at New Testament verses on faith in Jesus and the importance of keeping God's commandments. And we brought out, I brought out, made it very clear that keeping the Ten Commandments do not save us. We're saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. See, if you remember, there's several New Testament verses that talk about faith in Jesus, and then in that same verse talks about keeping God's commandments. Remember, I've said all along, you cannot separate God from his commandments. But there's several New Testament verses that talk about the faith of Jesus, having faith in Jesus Christ, and then also in that same verse talks about keeping the commandments. And so we need to remember that keeping the Ten Commandments do not save us. You know, I've made that very clear. We're saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But once we are saved through faith in Jesus, then the Holy Spirit empowers us to keep God's commandments. Okay, and then as we keep God's commandments, we're able to have fellowship with him. I brought out that we're not under the Mosaic law. Of course, we're under God's grace. That's Romans 6, verse 14. And as I've already said, yes, we're under we're not under law. We're under grace, but yet God cannot be separated from his commandments. And I've made that very clear. And all of the Ten Commandments can be substantiated in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, all the way through the book of Revelation. You need to realize that we still have the Ten Commandments in the New Testament. They haven't gone away once we moved into the New Testament. Okay, and we need to understand we're not saved by keeping the commandments. And you study the Bible, I brought this out. They weren't saved in the Old Testament by keeping the commandments. It's always been faith in Jesus Christ. But I've already talked so much about that in the previous sessions. But people will say, well, you know, we're not under law, we're under grace. And that is true. That's Romans 6:14. But yet God cannot be separated from his commandments, and all 10 of the commandments can be substantiated and preached from the New Testament, and not just the four gospel accounts, but from the book of Acts all the way through the book of Revelation. Now, of course, I'm giving a New Testament verse. Having said that, I'm giving a New Testament verse to substantiate each of the Ten Commandments, okay? And I've been doing that all along. But actually, and I haven't given you this verse yet in this series, but if you think about it, this verse that I'm about to give you would really substantiate all Ten Commandments. And it's Hebrews 12, verse 14. Hebrews 12, verse 14, I'll read it in the King James Version. And the Bible says this, "Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." Underline that "and holiness." You see, that one verse will substantiate all 10 commandments, because if we're keeping those 10 commandments, you know, by keeping those 10 commandments, we're going to be living holy. So that one verse would really substantiate all 10 commandments. So that's a good verse. Now I'll continue to give you, as we finish each commandment, I'll give you a New Testament verse to substantiate, each of the 10 commandments. But I thought that verse right there really gets them all. It really gets them all. So that was Hebrews 12:14. Now, having said that, I want to get into the fourth commandment today. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And I did say this to you earlier, and I made this clear, and I want to reemphasize it right now. Of the Ten Commandments, we must be watchful with the fourth commandment about the Sabbath day. Because, you know, I've been saying all along, you know, we can preach all Ten Commandments from the New Testament. And that's true, but you have to be watchful with the fourth commandment. And I want you to hear me out as I go through this today. And we just need to be watchful with that one. The other nine, you know, you could preach those other nine, right? I mean, really, you could preach them very dogmatically right out of the New Testament, right out of New Testament verses. You could preach those other nine commandments right out of the New Testament, you know, really from the book of Romans through the book of Revelation. Don't even have to go to the book of Acts. You could pick up it with Romans and go all the way through and preach those other nine commandments very strongly out of the New Testament epistles, you know, the letters. But commandment number four, you have to be watchful with that, as you'll see as we go through here. So with that being said, let's go to Genesis, the second chapter. And let's talk about the Sabbath day. And, you know, the Lord said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So let's talk about that here in this session. Now, Genesis 2 verse 1, thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. On the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested. See, underline that, rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. And he didn't rest because he was tired. He rested because he was finished. I just thought I'd throw that in there. But the point is he rested, okay? He ceased from his work because he was finished, okay? And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. That just means he set that day apart because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. So the seventh day of creation, and I believe they were 24-hour time periods. That's from my study of it. I think it's clear. Some people think that those days were longer, and I don't want to get into all of that. But I think it's pretty clear they were 24-hour time periods, 24 hours, one day. But anyway, so the seventh day, which is a Saturday, the seventh day is Saturday, okay, is known as the Sabbath day, or we could say it's the day of rest, because God rested on the seventh day from his work of creation. Now, of course, if you'll go to Exodus 20, let's go to Exodus 20, and of course, you find the Ten Commandments there. I just read them to you. But let's go to Exodus 20 and read this fourth commandment out of Exodus 20, verse 8. Exodus 20, verse 8 says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So that's what I read in my list. But then there's more explanation to it. So let's look at verse 9. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. So, of course, Moses got this on the mountain when God gave him the Ten Commandments. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Verse 10. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter nor your male servant nor your female servant nor your cattle nor your stranger who is within your gates, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day. He sanctified it, blessed it, set it apart, and hallowed it or made it holy. And so you see that the fourth commandment reference in that fourth commandment about remembering the Sabbath day, keeping it holy, goes back to creation. God rested on the seventh day, which is known as the Sabbath day, Saturday. God rested, And so he told his people here, you know, he told Moses to give this to the people that that seventh day is a day of rest. And he referred back to creation. Now, if you go to Deuteronomy, the fifth chapter, Deuteronomy 5, the Ten Commandments are restated there. And so let's look at the fourth commandment as stated in Deuteronomy 5, verse 12. It says this, "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you." Then verse 15, so that's restatement of what we read really in Exodus 20. But then in verse 15 here, this is Deuteronomy 5:15, and remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. This is referring when the Israelites were in Egyptian bondage. "And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." So the reason I read that was not only when God talks about the Sabbath, does he refer back to him resting, you know, at the end of, you know, the creation process. But he also refers back to when the Israelites were in Egyptian bondage. They didn't get any rest back there then. I mean, they didn't get any rest. They had taskmasters, and I mean, it was work, 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 work. And so God wants them to remember, you know, the Egyptian bondage that they were in, that they came out of, and they had to work all the time, and they need to observe. Let me just read it again. "And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath." So they would remember where that when they were in bondage, and now they get a day of rest. And so anyway, I think that's important to note. Now let's go to Exodus 31. Exodus 31. I want to read these passages here because there's some things I think we need to look at to get out of. Look here at Exodus 31, verse 12. "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations." So you see, keeping the Sabbath for the Jews was a sign between them and God. He says throughout your generations, and that, in my opinion, is making reference to the millennium. That's a time period yet to come on down the road from where we're at, where there'll be a 1,000-year reign of Jesus upon the earth. And you see the Sabbath and the animal sacrifices being reinstituted in that time. And it's a commemorative thing that's going to happen to remember back to what Jesus had done and all of that. I don't want to get into that now because that's a whole nother message for a whole nother time. But I just thought I'd mention it when he says throughout the generations or it being perpetual. I believe that's what he's referring to. So with that being said, let's go on. "For it's a sign between me and you that you throughout your generations that you may know that I'm the Lord who sanctifies you." You see, by observing the Sabbath, Israel would give a testimony that they were God's people and that they would acknowledge the day on which he rested after finishing creation. So again, by observing the Sabbath, Israel would be, that would be like giving a testimony that God is their God and they're honoring him as well as they're resting. But remember, it's a sign between God and his people. And when the Israelites would observe it, it would be them showing that they were honoring God. Now look at verse 14, "But you shall keep the Sabbath, therefore it's holy to you." Now watch this. "Everyone who profanes it will surely be put to death." Now, I mean, we need to just think about that. "Everyone who profanes it will surely be put to death, for whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is a Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day will surely be put to death. Now that's very serious and very sobering. You know, the violation of the Sabbath was punishable by death. And there were people, I remember one guy was out openly gathering sticks. I think it's in the book of Numbers. I'm not 100% sure, but I think it is. He's out gathering sticks and the people of Israel saw him doing that. And then he was just out blatantly violating the Sabbath. And on Saturday, and they took him to Moses. And I believe Moses, he went before the Lord and the Lord said, you know, take him, stone him. God takes his commandments serious, and it was a serious thing. So people were put to death at the direction of the Lord for violating the Sabbath in the Old Testament. Very serious thing. Look at verse 16. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. And I mentioned, you know, I talked about the millennium and mentioned that a moment ago. So I believe that's what that's making reference to. Verse 17, for it's a sign. God says it again. It's a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth. And on the seventh day, he rested and was refreshed. So there he's making reference back to creation. And when he had made an end of speaking with him on Mount Sinai, God gave Moses the two tablets of his testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. So there you have the fourth commandment. And simply put, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And so, from what we've just read, the Sabbath day was primarily, now, it was primarily a day of rest. Now, it was not primarily a day of worship. It was primarily a day of rest. All right, now, hear me out. Under the Old Covenant, sacrifices or worship were made daily at the tabernacle. See, worship was offered daily and it was continual. And the sacrifices were offered at the temple daily. It was a continual thing. And you know, worship really ought to be something that we do daily. We ought to worship God daily. Now, the Sabbath was primarily, as I've already said, it was a day of rest, not primarily a day of worship. Because, see, they worship God every day. Okay? Talking about the Israelites. I mean, there was worship offered to God every day. So primarily, the Sabbath was a day of rest, not primarily a day of worship. Now, let me read from my notes. No work was to be done on the Sabbath. So obviously that day would be, now listen, that would be an ideal day to have worship services. Even though they worshiped God daily, yet because no work was being done on the Sabbath, because it was primarily a day of rest, so no work was being done on the Sabbath, that would be an excellent day to have worship services, which is what occurred. Special offerings were presented on the Sabbath, we're talking on Saturday, in addition to the regular daily offerings. So they worship God daily, but on the seventh day, everything went into rest. But at the temple, actually, the worship increased, and it was a day where worship increased on the Sabbath day, on Saturday. So special offerings were presented on the Sabbath day in addition to the regular daily offerings. Sacred activity at the temple actually increased on the Sabbath. So sacred activity increased on the Sabbath on Saturday, but all work in the community among the Israelites was shut down and they rested in honor of what God said, what he did at creation, and he rested on the seventh day, and then, you know, he referenced them coming out of Egyptian bondage and all of that. But, so they worshiped God every day, okay? Listen, continually, they worshiped God every day. On the seventh day, Saturday the Sabbath, they would rest. But, since everyone was resting, it was a day where, at the temple, sacred activity increased. Okay, and they're in other words, on the Sabbath day, their worship increased. They went from worshiping him daily, and that worship on the Sabbath day increased. Notice, if you would, Leviticus 23, verse 3. Leviticus 23, verse 3. I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation. It says this: "You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of complete rest." And that's what it was to be. And then it says, "An official day for holy assembly. It is the Lord's Sabbath day, and it must be observed wherever you live." Wherever you live. So the seventh day is a Sabbath day of complete rest, an official day for holy assembly. So it was primarily the Sabbath day. Saturday was a day of rest, but the people were resting from their work. Okay, but there was worship to be given to God daily. But on the seventh day, on the Sabbath, even though it was a day of rest, worship increased at the temple. And then you see it was an official day for holy assembly. And I think that's what happened. Okay. Now, in the process of time, unfortunately, many of God's people chose to utterly desecrate the Sabbath, and it was costly to them, and you can see that as you read through the Old Testament. I'll not take the time to go all through that, but that's what happened. So many of God's people did not honor the Sabbath, and it's interesting, and we'll see how this relates to us in a moment here in the United States, but as time went on, they began in the Old Testament to desecrate the Sabbath, and the prophets of God warned them, but they desecrated it, didn't honor it. And you can see that there, as they didn't honor it, as time went on, you could see their society just degraded, went downhill, and eventually the judgment of God fell on them. And they eventually went into captivity. And, you know, so I mean, honoring the Lord on a Sabbath day was very important. And as they ceased doing that because their heart had turned away from the Lord, and their heart turned away from the Lord, their heart turned away then from keeping the Sabbath day and from his house, from the house of God, and their whole society degraded, went downhill, decayed, is another way of saying that. And ultimately, you know, the judgment of God came, and they went into captivity. It's very sad, but it's sobering. And as I said, we'll see how this relates to us here in a moment here in the United States. Now, by the time we observe the ministry of Jesus in the gospel accounts, the Jews' religious leaders had added so many rules and interpretations and traditions and so forth to God's Sabbath day, to his rules, that the Sabbath had become a burden to the Jewish people. Okay? And so I'm skipping over a lot of the Old Testament now for the sake of time to bring us up to where Jesus' ministry, when he comes on the scene, and we observe his ministry in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the religious leaders, the Jewish religious leaders, had added so many rules and traditions and so forth to the Sabbath day rules that God had established that the Sabbath had become a burden to the Jewish people. You see, God meant the Sabbath to be a blessing to his people, but the Jewish religion, the religious leaders, made it a burden. God meant it for a blessing. He meant the Sabbath for a blessing, but the religious leaders turned it into a burdensome thing. Okay? And to the point that Jesus, I mean, he had so much trouble with those religious leaders, because he'd heal people on the Sabbath and they just get on him. And, well, in fact, I'm a little ahead of myself here. Let me just read my notes. Jesus healed the sick on the Sabbath, and it outraged the Jewish religious leaders, and they accused Jesus of breaking the Sabbath rules. Jesus never broke the Sabbath rules which he and his heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit established, but Jesus did break the additions and the traditions and the interpretations the religious leaders had established for the Sabbath. So you see, Jesus never broke the Sabbath rules that he and the heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit established, but he did break the rules that the religious leaders had put on the Sabbath. I mean, it was terrible. As you read what Jesus went through with those religious leaders, and he would heal people on the Sabbath and they would just get mad as could be. And you can read that in the gospel accounts. And finally, Jesus told them, he said, you know, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And that was another way of Jesus saying, you know, hey, Sabbath is supposed to be a blessing and you guys have made a God out of it. You know, you can make a God out of anything. But they had made it, the religious leaders had made a God out of the Sabbath. And Jesus just had terrible problems with the religious leaders because Jesus would do good things on the Sabbath and they'd heal people and whatnot. And those religious leaders, as I said, they'd just get beside themselves. But so the Sabbath was put in by God, instituted to be a blessing, but you know, the religious leaders took that away from the people and made it a burdensome thing. You see, God's commandments are there to be a blessing. But you know, religion, religiosity, and that kind of thing will come in and what God means for a blessing, religiosity and religion and all of that will take it away from God's people and make it a burden. And that's sad. But anyway, now, let's answer two questions as I go on with this message about the Sabbath day. And here's the two questions that come up. Do Christians in the age of grace under the new covenant need to keep the Saturday Sabbath? That's the first question. In other words, we as Christians, do we need to keep the Saturday Sabbath? And then because we're here over under the day of, in the day of grace, in the age of grace, so are we as Christians supposed to keep the Saturday Sabbath? That's one question I want to deal with as I go on. And then the second one is Sunday the Christian's Sabbath day? In other words, is Sunday to Christians like Saturday was to the Old Testament Jews? Or I could say, has God commanded Christians to rest and worship him on Sunday? So let's find that out in the remainder of this message. And we'll do so in the New Testament. Now, the New Testament records that Jews and those who had converted to Judaism, the New Testament records that that those Jews and converts to Judaism, that they met in synagogues on the Sabbath, okay, which is Saturday. Now, Christians of the early church, under the supervision of the apostles of Jesus, now, notice in Acts 2:46, it says, so continuing daily, this is Christians now, Acts 2:46, continuing daily with one accord in the temple. So we see that Christians, under the supervision of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, from this verse here, talking about their worship, they continued daily. They worshiped God daily. Remember I said earlier how the Jews would worship God daily. You know, remember when I said that the Sabbath is primarily a day of rest, but then they also worshiped, you know, they worshiped daily, but then on the Sabbath day, they increased that worship. But here in the New Covenant, we see here in Acts 2:46 that they continued, and this is making reference to worship, you know, and being together in assembly as I read it, they continued daily because it says with one accord in the temple. So they worship God daily. And notice in Acts 20 verse 7, it says, now on the first day of the week. Now that's Sunday. That's not Saturday. That's Sunday. On the first day of the week, Sunday, when the disciples came together to break bread, so that indicates a public assembly, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. Wow, he preached quite a while, didn't he? But, and much we could say about that, but the point here is, it was the first day of the week when the Christians met. That's what we have record here of on Sunday. And then in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1, 1 Corinthians 16, 1, now concerning the collections for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do, Verse 2, on the first day of the week, let each one of you, and that's on Sunday, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. So that indicates to me that they were gathering together, meeting together, the Christians there, and they were doing it on, they were going to receive an offering, you know, and they were meeting together, and they did it on the first day of the week. So the New Testament, so when the Christians met, we see that they met daily in that first verse, Acts 2:46. And then after that, you see that they're coming together on the first day of the week on Sunday, not Saturday, the Sabbath of the Jews, but they're coming together on Sunday. So let me read from my notes. The New Testament does not command that the Sabbath, Saturday, be the day of Christian worship. There is no evidence in the New Testament that the apostles or the early Christians in any sense observed the Sabbath day, Saturday, as the prescribed day of worship. The church is not under the Mosaic law. The Sabbath was given to Israel, not the church. The church is under the new covenant established by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Bible nowhere describes Christians setting aside the Sabbath day, Saturday, as a day of worship. The only scriptures that describe Christians in any sense meeting on the Sabbath, which Saturday, the only time the scriptures indicate that Christians in any sense met on the Sabbath was for evangelistic efforts at the Jewish synagogues, which met, of course, on the Sabbath day, on Saturday. And the apostle Paul wrote, he said, to the Jews, I became as a Jew that I might win Jews. See, Paul did not go to the synagogue on the Sabbath, Saturday, to fellowship with or edify Christian saints, but he went to the synagogue on the Saturday Sabbath to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the Jews so that they could get saved. Yeah. Natural born Jews, they need to come to Jesus and get saved. And if they don't, read the Bible, study the Bible, they're headed to hell. Okay? It must come to Jesus. Absolutely. The only way to be saved, to miss hell and make heaven for anybody, Jews included, is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, you don't see the apostle Paul are any of the Christians going to the synagogue on the Saturday Sabbath to worship God. They were going there to evangelize. Okay? You need to understand that. You need to understand that. Okay? Christians met to worship God on the first day of the week, on Sunday, and they chose Sunday, no doubt, because that was the day Jesus was risen from the dead, and they did that out of celebration to celebrate his resurrection from the dead. That's why I'm convinced they chose Sunday and used Sunday, first day of the week, because that's the day Jesus was raised from the dead. And that's the day that we see Christians coming together, not on Saturday. And when you see Christians like Paul or, you know, we'll say Paul, you know, when he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath, it wasn't to worship God, you know, or to join in with other Christians to worship God. He was going there to minister Jesus to him, you see, on Saturday Sabbath. But the Christians met to worship God on Sunday, okay? At least that's what we've seen here from the scriptures we've read. And that's what the New Testament gives us. Now, I did want to say this, a note about sometimes people will ask me about Seventh-day Adventists. And, you know, they teach that Christians should keep the Saturday Sabbath, but their teaching is not substantiated by the New Testament. Okay? And there's some other things that if you study the Seventh-day Adventists out, you really study into them, there's some squirrely things in their history, so you need to be careful with them, but that's all I'll say, other than you can go study them out for yourself. But what they teach about the Saturday Sabbath and Christians need to keep that is not substantiated by the New Testament. So, to answer my first question, do Christians in the age of grace under the new covenant need to keep the Saturday Sabbath? And the answer is an absolute no. We are not under the Mosaic law. We are under grace. We're not under the law. We're under grace. So we, as Christians, are not bound to keep the Saturday Sabbath. And that's, as I said, one of the Ten Commandments that, you know, that fourth commandment is one of those ten that we cannot dogmatically preach from the New Testament. I believe we can preach the principle, as you'll see as I go along here and conclude this message. I believe we can preach. Now, the other nine commandments, we can dogmatically preach those from the New Testament. But that fourth commandment about the Sabbath day, we have to be watchful with it because we can't dogmatically teach that commandment that we as Christians need to, you know, keep that Saturday Sabbath. But I believe, as you'll see as I go here, that there, the principle of the Sabbath day is a godly thing. And I think we need to be aware of that, of what I'm going to say here in the remainder of this message. And we should be aware of it and take it to heart as it pertains to the Sabbath. So, to having a day set apart for the Lord. So let me just continue with this message and I think you'll see what I mean. So my second question was, is Sunday the Christian Sabbath day? In other words, is Sunday to Christians like Saturday is to the Jews? Has God commanded Christians, excuse me, to rest and to worship Him on Sunday? That's what we'll talk about now. Well, in the New Testament, as we've seen from those verses that I read a moment ago, if there was a day that Christians met regularly, it was the first day of the week, Sunday, not the Saturday Sabbath. And that was done in honor of Christ's resurrection on Sunday, as I've already said. The early Christians observed Sunday. Now, listen to this. The early Christians observed Sunday not as the Christian quote-unquote Sabbath, but as a day to especially worship God. Traditionally and historically, dating back to the first century, Christians have held their primary corporate worship services not on Saturday, not on the Saturday Sabbath, but on Sundays. The first day of the week, you know, on Sundays, the first day of the week, again, it's in celebration of the resurrection of the Lord, which occurred on a Sunday. So let me read that again, and so you got it straight. Traditionally and historically, all the way back to the first century, Christians have held their primary corporate worship services not on the Saturday Sabbath, but on Sundays, the first day of the week. And again, that was in celebration of Christ's resurrection, which was on Sunday. So again, Christians are not required to keep the Saturday Sabbath, okay? But Christians, as we saw, if there was a day that they met, kind of restating what I already said, if there was a day that they met together to worship the Lord, as we've seen, it wasn't on Saturday, it was on Sunday, and it was out of respect and honor of Christ's resurrection. But the question is, you know, is Sunday the Christian Sabbath day? In other words, is Sunday to Christians like Saturday is to the Jews? I mean, has God commanded Christians to rest and worship Him on Sunday? That's what I want to get at here. And I want you to look at Hebrews 10:25. Hebrews 10:25. Are we commanded by God to rest and to worship Him on Sunday? I mean, you know, the Jews were commanded in the Old Testament to rest on Saturday, the Sabbath, and we saw, you know, that they were commanded to rest there. They worshiped Him every day, but the worship increased on Saturday. You understand the Old Testament. They worshiped God every day. They rested on the seventh day, but on the seventh day, they did increase their worship. We've seen here what we read out of the New Testament, Acts 20:7, that they, Acts 2:46, they continued daily. So we see that daily worship of God here in the New Testament. Then we saw it was on, the New Testament centered out Sunday, the first day of the week. But the question is, are we specifically commanded by God to worship Him on Sunday? And as I look at the New Testament, the only command about assembly that I can find is Hebrews 10:25 as far as a command. a command. Now, underline that word command if you're taking notes. Hebrews 10:25. Look at that. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Okay? So there we have a direct command in the New Testament that Christians are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So, you know, are we commanded by God to meet on Sunday? Is that when we're commanded by God to meet on Sunday? Now, I want to say it again. The Jews were commanded to rest on Saturday, right? But they worship God every day, but on Saturday that worship increased. Here in the New Covenant, we see that worshiping of God every day. Then we see Sunday looks like that's when, it doesn't look like it, is for sure, at least the two verses I read to you, Acts 20 verse 7 and 1 Corinthians 16 verses 1 and 2, that was on the first day of the week, Sunday. But having said that, the only command I can find, maybe you can find another command, if you can, let me know. But a command that the church is to assemble is Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some. And some do forsake that, but the Bible says not to. So there's a direct command that Christians are to assemble. But then the question is, well, what day? All right. What day? Well, look at Romans 14, verse 5. I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation. It says, in the same way, some think one day is more holy than another day, and others think every day is alike. You should each be fully convinced that whichever day you choose is acceptable. Those who worship the Lord on a special day do it to honor Him. Those who eat any kind of food do so to honor the Lord, since they give thanks to God before eating. And those who refuse to eat certain foods also want to please the Lord and give thanks to God. But here's the thing. Let me read the first part of this here, chapter 14, Romans 14, verse 5. In the same way, some think one day is more holy than another day, while others think every day is alike. You should each be fully convinced that whichever day you choose is acceptable. So we're commanded as Christians to assemble. That's Hebrews 10:25, but at Romans 14 here, it says, whichever day you choose is acceptable. Interesting, isn't it? And then if you look at Colossians 2, verse 16, writing to the church, the apostle Paul says to those who are in Christ, Colossians 2, 16, he says, so let no one judge you in food or in drink, are regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths. So let no one judge you concerning those things. And then he mentioned Sabbaths, talking to Christians, and he just said, whichever day you choose is acceptable. And then in Galatians 4, verse 10, Paul writing to the churches of Galatia, Galatians 4:10, New Living Translation says, you are trying to earn favor with God by observing certain days or months or seasons or years. He says, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to live as I do in freedom from these things, for I have become like you Gentiles, free from those laws. So, from what I read here, the Bible in Hebrews 10:25 commands Christians to assemble, but as to which day we're supposed to assemble it said right here, it said you should be fully convinced that whichever day you choose is acceptable. That was Romans 14, verse 5 again. And then he said that no one should judge one another as it pertains to Sabbath days or, you know, special days. And then he says that we should live in freedom. So all I can tell you is that Christians are commanded to assemble, but as to which day it's supposed to be, we're given freedom in that area. As I study the New Testament, we're given freedom. Now, again, we saw from those earlier verses, Acts 2 verse 46, we see a daily worship. And then we see in Acts 20 verse 7 and 1 Corinthians 16 that the early Christians met on the first day of the week on Sunday. But then you read these verses and you see that whichever day we choose is acceptable, and we have freedom on this subject as to which day we assemble. We're commanded to assemble, but which day, God leaves that up to us here in the new covenant under the age of in the age of grace. Let me read from my notes. It's important to understand, I may repeat myself, but I want to be sure to get this in. It's important to understand that Sunday is not the commanded day for Christians' corporate rest and worship. Oh, you need to understand that. It's important to understand that Sunday is not the commanded day for the Christians' corporate rest and worship. There is no explicit biblical command for Christians that either Saturday or Sunday be the day of rest and worship. The scriptures I just read them to you, give Christians freedom to observe a special day or to observe every day as special. God's desire is that we worship and serve Him continually every day, not just on Saturday or Sunday. As has been already stated, there's no obligation for the New Testament believer to keep the Saturday Sabbath. And the idea of a Sunday Christian Sabbath is also unscriptural. Again, I want to repeat, repetition is the seed of learning. Hebrews 10:25, the Christians are commanded to assemble. Now, we're not under law, we're under grace, so we're free from the Old Testament Sabbath. That's why I can't preach commandment number 4 dogmatically, because we are free from the Old Testament Sabbath day, Saturday, as we've seen, as Christians. We're free from that. But we are commanded to worship. And we see that whichever day we choose is acceptable. There's freedom in Christ. We're not supposed to judge one another on when we assemble. We're commanded to assemble. And we see that the early Christians, we see where they met daily, and then you see where it looks like the first day of the week is the day that they met and worshiped, and that would have to do with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in honor of the day He was risen from the dead. The first day of the week, which is Sunday. Okay, so I think that's very enlightening, and that's good to know. And there again, we see in the Old Testament, as I said, they worshiped every day. They rested on the seventh, but on the seventh day, worship increased. So they worshiped every day, rested on the seventh, but worship increased. And you kind of see that here in the New Covenant, you know, that we're supposed to worship God every day. And it does, we don't have that command where we have to pick a day and rest and worship. But you know as well as I do, we ought to worship God every day. And we are commanded to assemble, Hebrews 10:25, but as to what day that is, and you know, our days or whatever, we're given complete freedom in that, but we do have precedent set where, as I said, you saw the Christians of the early church meeting daily, worshiping God daily, and then you see the first day of the week or Sunday, where they come together and meet. Let me continue with my notes. Is there anything wrong with worshiping on Saturday? What if a Christian said, well, we're going to meet on Saturday and worship. Is there anything wrong with that? No, there'd be nothing wrong with that. We should worship God every day. I'm just reading my notes here because I want to be sure I don't miss anything. I may repeat something, but it's good for you to hear it again and again. Should we worship God every day, not just on Saturday or Sunday or Wednesday evening? Yes. Okay, so let me read these notes here again. Is there anything wrong with worshiping on Saturday? What if a Christian said, I want to worship God on Saturday? Well, that's a Jewish Sabbath. Is there anything wrong with that if we wanted as Christians to worship God on Saturday? There's nothing wrong with that. We should worship God every day, not just on Saturday, or Sunday, or Wednesday evening. I say Wednesday evening because most churches, they'll have service on Sundays and Wednesdays, Wednesday evening, you know, Saturday. I'm messing up here, but have mercy on me. I'll say it again. I'll get it right. I just don't have the ability to stop, cut, and splice and edit all this. So I just have to, if I make a mistake, bear with me. I'm human. A little tired right now. Maybe I need to take a Sabbath rest. That's all right. Let me get this. We should worship God every day, not just on a Saturday, not just on a Sunday or Wednesday. And I say Wednesday because a lot of churches, you know, they'll have that Wednesday evening service. So, and there's nothing wrong with that. So we ought to worship God every day, whether it's Saturday, Sunday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Thursday, whatever it is, whatever day, Friday, Monday, whatever, Tuesday, whatever it is, worship God, okay? Now, some churches some churches today, I really need that Sabbath rest, don't I? Some churches today, especially mega churches, have both Saturday evening and Sunday morning services. And sometimes they'll have multiple service times. But let me start over. Some churches today, especially mega churches, have both Saturday evening and Sunday morning services with multiple times. I think I got that. Some churches today, especially mega churches, have both Saturday evening and Sunday morning services, and they'll have multiple times. They'll have Sunday morning, they'll have, you know, 7 o'clock, you know, 8:30, you know, 10, 12, whatever it is. Multiple times, they'll have a Saturday night service, you know, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 6:30. You know, then they'll have Sunday evening services, midweek services. And what I'm trying to say is all of these service times are fine. There's freedom in Christ on this subject, and you could attend all or one of these services, all of them, one of them, three of them, two of them. You could do any of it, you know, and it's all fine. You know, somebody says, well, I'm going to go and worship God on Saturday evening. Is there anything wrong with that? Not so far as I can tell. That's all fine. Again, there's freedom in this on this subject. Okay? There's freedom on this subject. You know, we got to be watchful, because the way I was trained is, by golly, Sunday morning, first thing out, go to church. Now, let me finish my message, okay? You need to hear what else I have to say on Sunday morning, so don't turn me off just yet. But, you know, I was trained Sunday morning, first thing you do, you go worship God. But, you know, then the Saturday night services came along, and, you know, is there anything wrong with that? Not so far as I can tell. Is there anything wrong with multiple Sunday services? You know, not so far as I can tell. Nothing wrong with that. Sunday evening services, nothing wrong with that. Wednesday night, Tuesday night, Thursday, whatever. Nothing. We have total freedom. We're just commanded to assemble. Now, how often do we assemble? Freedom. It's up to you. Okay, which day, what time, that's up to you. As much or as little as you like, but we are commanded to assemble. I will say this. I remember my wife and I, for many years, we attended church where there was Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And all of that was good, except on Sunday, we had to be there. We volunteered, we had to be there at 10. And then we were there at 9. Service started at 10, and you know, she was involved with the children's ministry, and then she eventually worship, and I assisted the pastor and all of those duties. So we'd do that, and then we'd get home, and just about the time in Sunday afternoon, we'd get home and just start to rest. And I thought, you know, we're talking about a day of rest. Just about the time we started to rest, we had to get dressed and go back for the Sunday evening service. And by the time we got done with the Sunday evening service, Sunday was anything but a day of rest. It got where we were more worn out after Sunday was over than any of the other days where her and I worked full time. You know, and of course, God's initial purpose was that, at least for the Jews in the Old Covenant, they needed a day of rest. But here, you know, I was working as a math teacher, she was working as a nurse, and then, you know, we did that 5 days a week. Saturday, we have a little bit of time off, and then Sunday, we worked really harder, a lot of Sundays, than we did during the work week. And see, the point of that is that God wants us to have a day of rest. And I remember back in those days when we were doing that on Sunday, it was, I got to the point, just as honest as I can be, I didn't look forward to Sunday at all. It got to be a day of drudgery. And it's supposed to be a day of rest and worship to God. Now we could do it any day. The Jews had to do it on Saturday. We could do it as Christians on any day, but Sunday was a day that most Christians get together and worship. And I know for me, for a long time, it was a miserable time, Sundays. I just didn't look forward to it because, the thing of it is, I'll just say this, maybe this will help somebody. Before I got hooked up with this church I was going to, serving God, it was, I get to serve. And when I got hooked up with a certain church, it turned from I get to serve him to the pastor there, it was more, you got to do it. And, that took sucked all the fun out of it. I didn't intend to say that, but maybe that'll help somebody. And, I want to serve God because I get to, not because I got to. And the leadership there of that church, I'm not trying to disparage them or anything like that. The pastor, he's now in heaven. But the thing of it is that before I met that pastor and got involved in that church, it was, I get to serve God and it was fun. But when I got around that leadership, the get to turned to got to. You got to do it. And it took all the joy out of serving the Lord. I didn't intend to say that. Maybe that'll help somebody. Be sure you're in a get to situation, not a got to situation. Now there are things we've all got to do, but service to God, we get to do it. We shouldn't be because we got to do it. That's one reason at Summit Church, we almost never had a Sunday evening service. We, once in a while, we'd have a special service on Sunday evening, but we almost never did. And because we wanted Sunday to be a day of blessing for people, get up, come worship the Lord, fellowship with the saints, and then have the rest of the day to go and rest and get rejuvenated. And that's why we never had Sunday evening services. Is there anything wrong with having Sunday evening services? Absolutely not. As I've already said, you could have a service any day, any time. That's freedom is given to you by God, okay? So, I hope I've made myself clear. I know I stumbled there a little bit, but that's all right. I'm human, made a mistake, but I think I cleared it up where I think you could understand what I was saying. So let me finish this message up. Is it wrong? Oh, here's a good question. Now, let me go back to those two questions just to be sure I didn't mess them up here. The first question was, do Christians in the age of grace under the new covenant need to keep the Saturday Sabbath? And the answer was no. Made that clear. Is Sunday the Christian Sabbath? In other words, is Sunday to Christians like Saturday was to the Old Testament Jews? So Sunday wouldn't be officially the Christian Sabbath. Sunday is Sunday to Christians like Saturday was to Old Testament Jews? No, because they were under that strict command to do it on Sabbath day. But again, it was for God's bless. God wanted to bless them with it. Has God commanded Christians to rest and worship Him on Sunday? Not on Sunday. Again, I like to repeat and review. We're commanded by God to assemble. And, how often that is or what day of the week, what time, He leaves that up to you. But traditionally, the Christians have done it on Sunday. And I like that. I think that's a good thing. And that's been going on for 2,000 years now. And I think it's a good thing. And it's an honor of the day that the Lord was raised from the dead on Sunday. But the point I'm trying to make is that fourth commandment, which was given to the Jews, we're not under that, but we are commanded to assemble. We ought to worship God daily. We are commanded to, worship Him daily in our own life, our everyday life. We are commanded to assemble. But as far as the times and the days of the week, God leaves that up to us. So I think I've hopefully made myself clear there. Now, let me close with this question. Is it wrong for a Christian to work on a Sunday? Are to play, have a play day on a Sunday? And again, to answer that question, there's freedom in Christ. I know when I was in Bible school with my wife, she worked. She's a nurse, so she was a nurse, so she worked on Sunday mornings. And she just couldn't come to church on Sunday morning. So she didn't come on Sunday morning. She went to work, and she went to church on Wednesday nights. Now, I know people, and I don't mean this ugly, but that church that we were involved with years ago, I mean, she would be put down for that. Oh, Sunday, you got to be there Sunday morning. You got to be there. I was even told by that leadership that, you know, oh, I can't work on Sunday. I was even told I can't work on Wednesday evening teaching school to support my family. I was told you can't work Wednesday evening. You got to keep God first. And yet, even so far as to if your child was having an assembly at school where they were in a play, you know, well, no, don't go to that. You come to church. You know, see, there's something wrong. There's something wrong there. See, God gives us freedom in these things. He commands us to assemble, but He gives us freedom. But anyway, my wife, she worked on Sunday mornings. Now, and so she couldn't come to church on Sunday mornings. Now, if she had a day off, she'd go, come on Sunday mornings, but she worked on Sunday mornings, but she would come on Wednesday nights. And see, I would go, especially when we were in Bible school, I would go on Sunday mornings, but I had to work Wednesday night, so I went to work on Wednesday night. And see, we're given freedom in Christ, and we're not to judge one another on these things and be judgmental and beat people over the head. Well, you got to be there every Sunday. Or, you know, or don't work on Wednesday night. That's church night. I mean, we ought to honor God, but God knows we have to work and make livings and whatnot. So He's given us freedom. Aren't you glad that He has here in the new covenant? So we're commanded to assemble, but then He leaves it up to us. And you know, somebody said, well, I'm going to assemble once every 5 years. Now, I think you're missing the spirit of it. The way I read that, not forsaking the assembly, I just think from as I've studied the subject that we ought to assemble at least once a week. That's my opinion, at least once a week. That would be my opinion. All right. And I just have to say this. I remember that church that I'm not disparaging it, but sometimes we can learn from these things. I remember the guys, a lot of the guys wanted to go deer hunting. Two Sundays out of the year. And I remember that pastor would just beat these guys up. He can't go deer hunting, can't go deer hunting. You gotta be in church, gotta be in church. And I mean, those guys that deer hunted twice a year, they got to where they just resented that pastor. And it was so sad because I did tell the pastor, I said, look, why don't you let them go deer hunt twice a year? Don't beat them over the head. Let them go. And wouldn't you like them to be there the other 50 Sundays? There's 52 Sundays, I guess, in a year. Wouldn't it be nice to have them there the other 52 Sundays with a good attitude than to have them 52 and you take the two away from them where they want to go deer hunt? Let them go deer hunt, and then they'll be happy the other 50 Sundays, and you might get some deer meat out of it. And that's the way I handled it. And I did get some deer meat out of it when I was pastor. I got some good deer meat out of it. Glory to God. So, you know, but we're given freedom in Christ. But, you know, are we supposed to work on Sunday? I don't see any rule in the Bible where we shouldn't work on Sunday. I know sometimes I cut the grass, my grass on Saturday. We're talking about working on Sunday. Sometimes I'll cut my grass on Sunday afternoon. Now, I know some people would have a problem with that, but we're given freedom in Christ. Now, if my neighbor, if I had a neighbor that knows that I'm a pastor, and, oh, I'm out working on Sunday afternoon, and that was going to cause my neighbor to stumble, then I would pick another day of the week if I could to cut my grass, and I wouldn't want to do anything to cause my neighbor to stumble. You know what I mean? So I'd find another day to do it. If me working on a Sunday was going to cause my neighbor who saw me out cutting my grass on Sunday afternoon was going to make him stumble, I'd pick another day to do it, you see. And the Bible's clear on that. We shouldn't do anything, even though we're given great freedom in Christ, we shouldn't do anything to make our cause our brother to stumble, okay? So, but as far as is there anything wrong with working on a Sunday, I don't see that there's anything wrong with that. Now, I will say Sunday here in the USA in my lifetime, when I was growing up, Sunday was a day set aside for the Lord Jesus Christ to rest. Businesses were shut down and people would go to church the bulk of the people would go to church. And even though not specifically commanded by God to Christians in the New Testament, setting aside, now listen to this, even though we're not specifically commanded by God, you know, as Christians, to set aside a day, Sunday, to honor God, it is a scriptural principle and it is a good thing to do. Though we're not commanded to set Sunday aside specifically, it is a scriptural principle. You see it, God, it's a scriptural principle. He set it aside when after creation, and you see it in the Old Testament, and he says not to forsake the assembling, setting aside a day for God, though we're not commanded that it's got to be Sunday, I think it is a good thing to do. And that's the way it was when I was growing up. And like I said, businesses were closed down and people went to church. But now in the USA, on Sunday, it's just about like any other day. You can't really tell any difference between Saturday, Sunday, and Sunday's just about like any other day. It is a little different still, but it's not much different than any other day. And that's so different. If you're a young person listening to me, it's so different than when I was growing up, you know. And again, I've always been of the opinion that the first thing we should do as Christians on the first day of the week is, you know, is assemble and go to church and worship God. But now they got little leagues going on and soccer tournaments for kids and all kinds of things going on Sunday mornings. And, you know, just my opinion, even though there's freedom in Christ, in my opinion, I think you teach a child, the first thing you do on the first day of the week is go worship God and honor that first commandment. You know, keep God first. That's what I think. That's my opinion. But that's not the way it is anymore in the United States, by and large, as a whole. And I think we can see the heart of the United States as a whole, including many Christians, just like what happened in the Old Testament. We see them turning away from God. And you can see that by, in the Old Testament, they turned away from that Sabbath, they turned away from the house of God, and it eventually, their society degraded, and eventually the judgment of God came. And we see the same thing, a parallel to that here in the United States. I've seen it in my lifetime. Just look at Sunday mornings and the way the house of God is treated. And when I was growing up, things were shut down in honor of the Lord. People went to church. And now, a few decades, that's all but gone. You know, as a whole now I'm talking about, there's still a lot of people in this country that love the Lord and honor Him. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the nation as a whole. You see Sunday like any other day. The heart of the United States as a whole is turned away from the Lord. And you can see the nation degrading just like ancient Israel, the United States, and filth on television and you know, decline morally, mass shootings regularly, schools locked up tighter than a drum. We used to have tornado drills when I was a kid. Now they're having, I guess they still have those, but they're having active shooter drills. But you can see the heart of the nation as a whole is turned away from God. And you see that evidence by the way Sunday is treated. Even though we're not under that command to have to do it on Sunday, it's a good thing to do. And you see what's happening to the United States, just like what happened to ancient Israel. Sad, turning away from the Lord. And again, evidenced by the way Sunday in the house of God is treated. You know, there's a song that was popular some years ago, and there was a line in that song, when I teach a message like this, it says, it was called, I think Manic Monday was the name of the song, and there's a line in it that goes, just another Manic Monday, the lady singing a song, she says, it's just another Manic Monday. She was on Monday singing a song, just another Manic Monday. And then she says, wish it was Sunday, that's my fun day. Well, you know, Sunday was her fun day. Well, you know, I'm of the opinion Sunday should be set aside, even though we're not commanded dogmatically, but I think Sunday should be set aside as a day to honor and worship God. And so, but Christians, I've watched it right on, head up, close, right, first row seat. Christians have turned Sunday into their fun day. So many of them, not all of them. And you see what's happened in the United States. And it's just declining. Sad. In conclusion, Christians are commanded to assemble, but freedom as to all the particulars, which day or which service time is given by God, and Christians are not bound to keep the Sabbath either Saturday or Sunday. And so commandment 4 of the 10 commandments cannot be preached dogmatically from the New Testament. I made that clear, however, and I'll close right here. Hebrews, the 4th chapter. It talks about a rest for the people of God. And remember that Sabbath day was all about resting. Rest. Yeah, worship was there, but resting. And in Hebrews 4, verse 4, it talks about how God rested on the seventh day from his work. So it's interesting, in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, the New Testament, it's still, even though there's not a direct command about Christians keeping the Sabbath, we still have the principle of the Sabbath in the New Testament, a day of rest and worship. And then verse 9, Hebrews 4, 9 says, there remains a rest for the people of God, for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. And what is this talking about? We as Christians, when we receive Jesus, we are in Christ and we live in him in the rest, that sabbatical rest that he provides. When we receive Jesus as our Savior and our Lord, we enter that rest and we cease from our own works and labors as it pertains to our salvation. And isn't that a great place to be? Glory to God. So even though Christians are free from that fourth commandment as it pertained to the Jews, as I've said, we still have that fourth commandment principle here in the New Testament. It's mentioned right there in Hebrews 4. And setting aside a day for the Lord, I think that's a good thing to do. And I tell you what, God will honor, you honor God, he'll honor you. But in Hebrews 4, that principle of Sabbath, it's still there, and the rest, and we enter that rest when we receive Jesus. And then when we receive him, we cease from our own labors, and we're accepted by God in Christ. And we don't have to do anything to earn our salvation. It's a free gift from God, and we can rest in that. Can you say amen? And if you're out there and you've never entered the rest of God, you've never entered Jesus, you've never gotten saved, well, you can receive him right now. Enter into the rest that God has for you. You can receive Jesus. You'll miss hell one day. You'll make heaven, and he'll make your life worth living in the meantime, and you'll have the rest of God. If you're out there and you don't have any rest, receive Jesus, and that rest of God will come upon you. Glory to God. See, if you don't know Jesus, the wrath of God abides on you, but you receive Jesus, that wrath will be removed. You'll feel like a 10-ton weight is rolling off your shoulders and your chest. You'll be in Christ. You'll make heaven. And boy, you'll have rest in the meantime. Hey, call on the name of the Lord Jesus right now. Cry out to him. Say, Jesus, come into my life. And I tell you, he'll do it. And you'll be glad you did. So, hey, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep his commandments. Assemble. Go to church. I like what Billy Graham said for years. He said, go to church next Sunday. So, hey, go to church, honor God, and you'll be glad you did. And don't forget to listen to that message on political prophecies. It's in the description of this message. I think it'll do you good. God bless you, and we'll pick up with these commandments next week. I guess we'll do number 5. Maybe number 6, too. We'll see. God bless you. See you then. Bye-bye.